Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. We are now into the new year, 2020, and isn't it going to be a glorious year? We say this every year, don't we, in January? We say we're going to change, we're going to expand, we're going to let things go, we're going to create something new, or see what's on the horizon. Many times people will say, well, I'm 2 weeks into it, and good luck with that. 4 weeks into it, I don't even know what day it is. I'm tired of the winter. Can we get to the summer already? How are we really rushing through our lives, not noticing what's going on each day, and finding the importance of every single moment that we have, irregardless of how it presents to us? Or are we just trying to find that we need to create a life that will look like a certain picture that we believe everyone and ourselves holds up as perfection? Well, 2020, we're letting perfection go. It's all about how can we engage in the experience of life, feel its ups and downs, sit down and play in the mud if we're stuck in the hole, be able to engage and be sick with all of our pains and our sorrows, and also with all of our joys. This is the mantra for 2020. Today, my guest is Mina Samuels. Her book is Run Like a Girl, 365 Days a Year, a Practical, Personal, Inspirational Guide for Women Athletes. Mina, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeanette. I'm excited to talk with you.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, you know, Mina, when I picked up your book, the first thing I said, what are we running to? What are we running from? Or where are we going? Isn't that interesting when I saw it, you know, because so many times people will say, where are you running? Are you running away from your troubles? Or are you running to something you can't achieve? And you know what I thought when I held your book, because I always put my hand on each book, I said, Mina is running to her soul's journey. And isn't that a different path? Wasn't that so cool to think about?
I love that that is what you thought when you held my book. And if I didn't know who you are, I would be surprised. But from you, it just seems like the exact right thing. And it's true. It's what I was thinking when you were saying running away and running towards. Because I was thinking, well, it's definitely not a book about running away from things at all.
Right.
If anything, it's a book about standing in the place we are and taking stock of where we are before we, you know, as we're figuring out where it is that we would like to move to, if we need to move to somewhere. I mean, the reality is life is dynamic, so we're always moving. The running part of it is, I mean, I love this idea that it's running to where you're, you know, towards your soul's journey. The running to me is also just about, it's a metaphor. The whole run like a girl expression is just like, it's an expression of that self we have when we start out in the world that is light and curious and engaged and not weighted down by all the self-consciousness that we develop as we get older. And some self-consciousness is good, I suppose, but there's a large part of it that is based in our fear of being shamed and our fear of failure. And all of those things hold us back from being curious and from finding joy in our lives, finding joy, as you just said, in the short days of winter when we feel like, oh, when's this over? When's the next thing happening? When am I getting out of this this time of the year, which just feels like a doldrums, which instead could feel like a period of healthy hibernation,
right?
Or, you know, a little bit of a retreat into self or into family or into home, where you have time to rejuvenate and replenish, as opposed to, oh, it's just defeating.
Right.
In January.
And you know what's interesting when you say about running? You know, when I think about running, I think about feet on the ground, grounding to the earth, about being able to be engaged in the earth experience as the human experience. And a lot of times I share on the radio, I say about dancing with the energies, flying high, being with the angels, knowing with the spirits. So in essence, you know, we're truly running and dancing at the same time, because both of those paradigms are very freeing. They're very much allowing you to just have a moment of experience. And they're not saying it has to be this, 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 and this to qualify it or quantify it. It just says have an experience and enjoy it. You know, feet on the ground, when you're out running, you're not carrying along your purse of baggage with you. You know, you don't have all of your Girl Scout badges on your back that says about your legacy. And you aren't dragging along all the things that have to say, you know, make sure everything's perfect in alignment. Same thing with dancing. You know, when you're dancing, you do the very same similar thing. So really, you know, running is an earth human existence, and, you know, mm-hmm. dancing is a mystical one.
I think that is a lovely way of looking at it. And I think that at its best, that is what running is. It's a way of, you know, propelling our bodies through space in this free kind of exuberant manner, which is the
right.
same way in which we want to dance. I love dancing, by the way. I just have to say, and of course I'm going to qualify it immediately in that way that people do of saying, I'm not a good dancer, but
right.
I love to dance. And I'm not above doing it randomly in the street occasionally if I'm walking around and I'm thinking of something happy.
Oh, I live in New Orleans. You can do it whenever you want.
Oh, you are very free in New Orleans. It's true.
Yes.
And I live the majority of the year I'm in New York City, where you can also pretty much do whatever
right.
and people don't really look at you askance, which is a beautiful thing about
it
the
is.
City, that you can do that. But yes, I would say that unfortunately running much more than dancing, I would say, there are periods where we do, in fact, carry too much baggage with us when we're running
right.
because we want it to be a certain way, and we want it to, you know, be a certain speed, and we want to feel strong the way we felt yesterday, but that we don't feel today, or the way we felt 10 years ago. And so for me, sometimes, you know, it's a constant balance, finding that freedom of dance inside my run. But, oh, when it's there, it's so beautiful. It's like the way that children run from place to place. They never
right.
just walk slowly to get somewhere. They're always like, oh, now I'm going here. Let's rush over there. And I still get that feeling, and I love that feeling of, oh, I can't wait. And now I'm going to run there. I was talking about that very pleasure with a friend on Sunday. I did. She's training for a marathon. I'm not. But I was feeling in a space where I could do her quite long run with her. And I was talking about how I was really feeling this summer for the first time since I had a foot surgery a few years ago, that incredible, intense, just pleasure and joy of that forward motion over the ground, feeling connected with the earth, and having that feeling, you know, that your blood is not just pumping through your body, but it is kind of going through the soles of your feet into the earth
right.
and then coming back out again and back in, you know, that just
mm-hmm.
regenerative way that being in contact with the world and the air and what's happening outside gives us a feeling of connection.
You know what I think is so important too in your book, Mina, is that you have so many pictures of outdoor activities, you know, and of nature. And so many times don't you think that people will say, I'm going out for a run, and they run down the street and they run back, and you ask them what they saw and they have no clue. You know, you ask them what they smell, they have no idea, or what they heard, but they've all got earphones on and a hat, and they kind of like propel themselves forward. And I think that while that has its purpose and its reason, truly what you're sharing in the book is about how you really have pictures and activities that you're engaged in, you know, in the earth. In other words, you share many of your writings here about how it feels to be able to, you know, notice the sun, feel the water. Can you do this? Can you not? Or maybe some of the challenges you've had, you know, like, do I really want to go out today? I don't feel like going out today. Do I have to do it? What's somebody going to say about it? In other words, being real honest with yourself is really about when you're engaging in a run. Don't you think the run is really about, it's almost like a meditation or a journaling with the experience. That's how it feels to me.
Yes. And qualified, yes, I guess, if I'm being honest. I've thought a lot about whether I think a running is like a meditation. And I think that running is can be very mindful. We can also do it unmindfully, as you described, where we sort of plug in. And I'm not above doing that on some days where I just really want to listen to someone's soothing voice, you know, learning new things while I'm out for my run. But there are definitely ways in which we run more mindfully. And now I'm just totally forgetting. You said a different word. You said it's like a meditation, or it's like a, and it was the second thing that I was thinking. It's exactly like
that.
A journaling for the earth. Oh my gosh, I love that image. It's so beautiful. I had never thought of it that way before. But you're exactly right, because when we're doing it mindfully, it's like we are checking in with our body and our emotions, and where we're at in the world. And it's not about how fast we're running necessarily at all. It's just about how does each piece of my body feel when my feet come in contact with the earth? How does that feel as it resonates up through my legs and my hips? And how does it feel on my back? And then also, how does the air, some runs, there are some temperatures when you go outside, and that feeling of the air on your skin is just perfect. It's just sort of perfectly beautiful. I was out in California, in Pescadero near the coast, and just last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and the air just had that, you know, it's kind of like at 58 degrees, so you feel the coolness, but as soon as you start working a little bit and your skin heats up, it's just like this beautiful sheath of ocean air that's kind of holding you in this space. And it's beautiful. I mean, I'm rhapsodizing a little too much. I apologize, but it's such a beautiful kind of moment to take note of, and journaling is a perfect way. I am going to have to steal that image from you because I love it so much.
Don't you think also, too, when you write in your book, when you're going out writing about your, you know, your run or your life or whatever, you're also journaling of the earth. You're saying the leaves are turning, it's snowing, it's cool outside, just as you said just now. So you're really journaling also the earth's experience at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're together. I mean, we are... we are members of the community on this earth and in a larger sense of the universe in its entirety, but what the rhythms of the earth are also do dictate what our own rhythms are. I mean, it's not surprising that people feel a little bit low in January, because the earth itself is in a very quiet period of its cycle too, for those of us who live in this hemisphere. And so I think that it is unnatural if we aren't taking note of where nature is at in its cycle when we are out in nature and participate, you know, really participating in it and not trying to just cloister ourselves away from the outdoors. I grew up in Canada, so I have to say that I am definitely a person who loves four seasons. Mm-hmm. And I love that I would feel deprived a little if I didn't live somewhere where I went through that sort of cycle of fallowness and cold in the winter and the ground kind of hardening up and then you know, watching the tiny little buds come out green in the spring.
Right.
So lovely.
It makes a difference, though, because that, too, instills the cycles within the body. I mean, when you can feel the cycles in the body and the cycles in nature and then in the earth and, you know, what's around you, it always gives you a constant sense of evolution versus a sense of stagnation. Sometimes people say, well, oh, I do all my running in the gym. And I'll say, okay, good, you know. But that truly gives them a sense of being in one place doing a process, and they're very disconnected from something. When you're really out in nature, it's totally, it's a 360 experience, don't you think?
It's absolutely a 360 experience. And I, for me personally, I crave that connection with nature. And I am a little bit of a proselytizer about it, I guess, in that I think that it is our increasing disconnection with nature that allows us to be, we're being a little bit careless these
right.
days. And we're careless with each other. We're careless with each other in the way that we speak to each other, partly because now that's so mediated by, like, there's so much media in between me and the person I'm speaking to, or there may be that I'm not looking them in the eye. They're not within touch distance of me, or even, you know, close energetic distance. And it's the same. We feel the same way about the earth. It seems like, oh,
right.
you know, ocean level's rising, but it doesn't feel real to us. And, you know, it's just not, when we try to think about it as a separate, some kind of separate occurrence from ourselves, then it allows us to behave in ways that are against our own interests, I think.
Right.
So I really think people should get outside when they, you know, here and there, and
mm-hmm.
get dirty and play in the, how did you put it earlier, in the mud hole?
Right. Well, you know, I used to, I'm in my 60s now, and while that's not old, my knees have said otherwise, and I'm not able to do exactly, you know, what I used to do. So currently they're driving the bus, and, you know, the idea is I used to jog, you know, in the Pennsylvania when I lived there, and there was nothing better than that, you know, because it, just as you said, very cool air because it was the top of the mountains, and I would go around the lake, you know, especially in between, you know, at the hospital or whatever, I would go around the lake, and the leaves would be out, or there'd be some patches of ice, and it was just, it was the most beautiful thing ever, and I can honestly say that, you know, people have bucket lists. They want to do this, that, and the other thing. And mine is just put sneakers on me and make me run around the lake again. You know, I don't care about anything else. I don't want to go anywhere or do anything. It's just that. Because that sense of that feeling is true freedom. And don't you think that when you shared all of your postings and everything in your book, Run Like a Girl, 365 Days of a Year, you shared what was going on in your life. Shared your ups, downs, and also your inner self, that a lot of times people say, yeah, I really shouldn't say that. And it's sort of like, why would I not say that? It's being more truthful with self. Don't you think that when you're more truthful with self, then you're able to be able to say, you know what, I feel more inner power and I'm able to be able to continue to go on. Isn't that, as we said in the beginning of this conversation, the path to your soul journey?
Yes, yes, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I just think that being honest with ourselves is also the only way that we can be true to ourselves, and it's also the only way we can be true to other people. It gives us a kind of a power that is very personal, but very it has a certain self-sufficiency. And I don't say that like, right. Ooh, and then you don't need anybody else.
Right.
But it, the less you need of others, sort of societal type approval, the easier it is to get in touch with what exactly you want to be doing. And so the idea of allowing people to see things inside me that are, you know, that aren't like, oh, I'm so proud of that. It's not like the highlight reel of mm-hmm, my internal right. workings. It's more like, ooh, these things, I'm fearful of these things that maybe you're not fearful of at all, and I messed this up, and some things I did right, and that was good. But part of writing the book in the 365-day format, and the only reason I bring it up is that it really goes with what we've been talking about, which is that I wanted to free myself as a writer in the creative process to write in a cyclical fashion that followed the seasons, that followed the seasons of the earth, that followed the seasons that were occurring in my life, that were occurring in my sort of internal climate, and that I think that happens to everyone. All of our seasonal cycles are a little bit different, but we all go through cycles. There's no I was talking to a friend earlier today, and he was saying, when did it happen that everybody started to think that it was a pathology if we weren't happy? Like that right. it needed to be named as a pathology. This is living. Living is that some days we're sad and some days right. we're happy and some days we're frustrated and sometimes we feel on top of the world and sometimes we feel that same thing within we feel all of that within 24 hours mm-hmm. and it's natural. I mean, what's unnatural is if we don't feel, if we don't allow ourselves the luxury and the permission to feel those things. And so that is a bit of what I try to do with my writing, with kind of everything I write, is just to give people permission to feel how they feel and to not be their best self every second of every day, and to know that that is natural, mm-hmm. and in fact praiseworthy, because that's how we become our, that's how we kind of can ratchet up our best self, is if we have, we admit to and we embrace the moments that aren't.
Right. And also too, it shows when you do a year writing, it shows not only the cyclical part, but also the evolution. And once you see the evolution, you will say, wow, you know what? I was complaining about that last year, and that just doesn't seem important anymore, you know? Or you could say, you know, I decided to take another track and look at what I found on that other track when I was running. Or, you know, I was complaining about the hot summer, but this year I can't wait to get out in the heat. So it just shows you that everything keeps changing, and for everything to change is what we wish in our soul, for everything to be stable, permanent, stability, and all that other stuff is what the human part wanted. So if we can dance yes. with your soul, isn't that the yeah. lighter journey?
Oh, my gosh. It's so much lighter, but it's so hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard not to wish in a moment that feels perfect. This is perfect. Can I seal it in amber and,
right.
you know, wear this moment around like a permanent piece of jewelry?
Yes.
And the answer is no, you can't. You can have the memory, and the memory is a beautiful thing. Don't get stuck in it. Don't live inside only the memory. But what it shows you is that there's, every time you have one of those kind of beautiful moments, to me, it's a demonstration of that, the possibility of another one happening.
Right, right.
At another time.
Yeah.
It's also true that the extremely difficult moments are going to happen mm-hmm. again, too. Unless you have absolutely no friends and no family and no one you care about, people you care about are going to disappear from your life in some way. And
yeah.
But you know.
Don't you think once you start writing, though, what it helps you to do is to keep those things that when you have no one else to share them with or engage in conversation with, it allows you to converse with your pen. It allows you to converse with your soul or your heart because you don't have to worry about what you're saying to or about anything. You just plain put it down. In other words, it's important as it shows up, and once you can release it, then you're not stuck with it. You're not sick after a while, and you don't have to justify or give a reason why you aren't going to do or not do something, right?
That is a very interesting point, and I think that writing is a wonderful release. I think that for me, definitely, just as its own creative pursuit, it's a way of kind of spilling things out on the page and seeing what I really think about something or what I really feel about it because I might not be sure. I think that writing has an incredible kind of healing power in that way. But it really needs to be, there's always a danger, there's always a flip side of things. There's always the danger that you use it to ruminate as opposed to refresh. Mm-hmm. And those two things are a little bit different. It's the same with, you know, writing is a very mindful activity. It's not a meditation, but it's a very mindful activity. And so, you know, there's writing that's just for venting, which I have done lots of. And then there's writing to explore. What do I think? How do I feel? Write it all down and then look at it and see, is there a thread that emerges that I just wasn't aware of at a conscious level? Right. And in that way, I think writing is fantastic. I think when it's only about venting, we may not be using it in the most powerful fashion. It's like the difference between, I can't remember what, there's some new late night talk show. I think that's what it was. It was a billboard I passed very quickly, and it said something like unfiltered. Uh-huh. And I started thinking, yeah, but we're really conflating these days the idea of unfiltered and authentic, and they're not the same thing. To be your authentic self doesn't mean, oh, I say everything that's, you know, I allow everything to spill out of my mouth that might occur to me in that moment, because some of that might just be for the purpose of provocation, for the purpose of being outrageous, for the purpose of, you know, and it might, or it might be something that kind of comes out, you know, so hastily that, and unfiltered, that it's incredibly hurtful to some other person, and why, and to what end.
Yeah.
So, because I really do think that principle of, you know, is it truthful? Is it necessary? Is it kind in this moment to speak whatever the truth is should be kept in mind. And I think that writing, when we think of it in that term, when we think of it as a mindful activity as opposed to just a blah, here's every thought I've ever had. An unfiltered activity.
Right. Well, I also think, too, Mina, in closing, that we can say when you are journaling or when you're running to your soul or when you're out on the earth and just running outside to be able to connect with yourself, all of these are experiences that we are now having if we're choosing to say, I want something different. And what you and I are sharing is saying, wow, that's really cool that you're having that experience. Did you find that out running? Did you find that out writing? How are you doing it? And you share. It's sort of like what you're doing is really truly giving them a venue to cross over, in other words. If someone's out running all the time and they want to know something about the soul journey, or they want to know something about how do you really, you know, pay attention to yourself, you can use running as a vehicle and be able to cross over and, like, link the conversation. So it's really about how can we link our activities in life and what we're doing to be able to open each other up and support each other, yes?
Yes. Yes. I love talking to you, Jeanette. It's exactly right. And it's the reason that I wrote this new book, the Run Like a Girl 365 Days, because I felt like I feel like there's a bit of a wave in the world right now where everything you do, people say, oh, you know, this will transform you, or, you know, this one right. yoga class will transform you. And A, it's not that easy. And you know, exercise is going to make your brain bigger. That's one of my favorite examples. And that's excellent. It's great. I'm sure it does make your brain bigger. But why? What for? It's not just to make your brain bigger. It's you're doing all of this so that you have energy and you feel empowered to be in the world in a strong way that that is of service to other people, that is kind, that is compassionate. You know, the more energy we have, the more resources we have to be present for all of our fellow humans and also the earth.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think sometimes we say, is the world just going crazy, or is there a lot of chaos and I want to run off the end of the earth, you know?
Yeah.
Or am I just going to keep running because I just don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to keep running and running and running. You know, I think sometimes it might be used as an escape mechanism, but you know what? Some days you just need it. And to just be honest and say, I need it as an escape today, and that's what I'm going to do, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you should – It's a lot better of an escape than a lot of other ways that
that's
people
right.
use to escape the world. So, you know, all power to you if that's how you're using running. I have used it that way many a time.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about this with a friend this weekend when I did a long run with her. Just, you know, the idea that I was reflecting on periods of my life when I've used running as kind of a way to almost just like pound the hurt out of my life,
right.
and how much better it feels running just for joy.
Right. But, you know, both can exist. It's only the other end of the paradigm. That's it, right?
they are both absolutely going to exist.
Yep. Well, Maya, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That'd be wonderful.
Absolutely. They can always find me. I'm on Facebook under Maya Samuels. And then my website is www.MinaSamuels, all one word, MinaSamuels.com. And I am easily reachable through the contact form, and I'm always very happy if people want to reach out and, you know, chat to me over email and such like. So I would love to hear from people.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I think this will give us a great outlook on the year 2020, how we can be able to say, you know, pick up one of these books. We used to pick up these yearly books a long time ago, and we would, you know, follow along, and they'd be telling us, you know, all of these, you know, the little phrases and affirmations with other people's names on. It's sort of like, can anyone write their own story instead of tagging somebody else's from eons, you know? You know,
right.
So I love yours is because it's real life. You know what I mean?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for having me on. It was such a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to find out more information about Maya Samuels, her book again is Run Like a Girl, 365 Days a Year, a practical, personal, inspirational guide for women athletes. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and to go directly to her website. And it truly is about reaching out and finding out about how people are doing things now. It's not about how the people did it in eons ago or, you know, all of those affirmations where we have to find and, you know, get ourselves into the spiritual dogma or whatever. It's about how are we engaged in life today? How can we stretch ourselves? How can we say, I'm not feeling so good and own it? How can we say how great I feel and celebrate it? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.